Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love him. He loves us so much. He cares about us in every way of life, and I thank God that he does. I love the work of God. I love his ways. I always say it. I love his word. I love his wisdom. I love his counsel. I love when he gives me understanding. It's life. All of it is life. In every form, life. Even the fear of the Lord, I love that too. And then I reply, I say, Lord, I don't want to mess up. I'm known to mess up stuff, and I don't want to mess up. It's all right to ask for help. I ask him for help often. When he gives me something to do, I bless it, and then I protect it. Because I know the enemy is after good information. So many times I've had to do battle once I had understanding. And then I pray for my people and all of my interests. Because Satan will use others to try to bring you low. Now guess what? He does everybody that way. So I understand that people must flow in the ways of God and stick with what God says. And I understand this. It's a standard. And the Lord loves his people. And he gives I don't just want to see God do a mighty work in through me. I want to see him do a mighty work through everybody. I want to see him save sinners and use them. And all the people that's wise, more educated than me, I want to see them activated, you know. As a mechanic, I work on engines, and the coin was phrased firing on all cylinders. Nobody understands that more than a mechanic. And people that don't know nothing about engines say it too. A V8 engine has 8 cylinders. Each cylinder has a piston in it. And each cylinder is just like the principle of a gun. An explosion in the combustion chamber drives the piston down, which turns the crank, which turns the drive shaft through the transmission, and then it turns the wheel. So the vehicle moves. Or whatever that engine is used for, it works. So you have 8 spark plugs to ignite the in a gasoline engine anyway, you have 8 spark plugs to ignite the fuel air mixture once it's compressed, and that's what starts your explosion. So when a spark plug fouls out, or if you lose compression on a cylinder, or if you get too much gas or not enough, you have what they call a misfire. It's not firing on all cylinders. Now this is not an auto mechanic lesson, it's just to give you a synopsis and understanding what it means. So if you got 8 cylinders operating equally, you have a smooth running engine. If you have 1 or 2 cylinders that's dead when they're supposed to be alive, you have a rocket. It's a vibration in that engine because it's misfire. And the more cylinders that's down, the less power you have out of that engine, and the more problems arise because of it, because it's not firing on all cylinders. Now I like to see people that's educated in the things of God. They took time out to be educated. I commend them for that. I always do. I want to see them like they're supposed to be. I don't want to see them go to Bible college or take time to learn of God, then become somebody that God can't use. That doesn't make any sense. But it happens. Very disappointing. Especially when people are looking to their pastor or ministers, people, you know, when a man of God falls, people that's weak that looked up to him, they'll fall too. If they become arrogant, the people become arrogant. And that's not something God can sanction. So that's why this year I've been talking about old stuff. I want to move on to something else, but this is what keeps coming up in my spirit, man. Because God wants this generation, especially just before his mighty return, to do what's right. And doing what's right is more powerful. You know, following God according to His specifications is appropriate. It's anointable. It's something He can sanction. And when people do the things that's right, then the Holy Spirit can rest upon their lives. See, God's way is love. You can't never separate from it. Very important. And He wants to be known. But see, people say God works in mysterious ways. I don't like that. You know, God is intelligent. He's not a prankster. He's not a trickster. He loves us. He operates by love, not mystery. Everything He does is according to love, wisdom, and purity. And to the worldly mind that don't know Him, it's a mystery. But David said, "He that lives in the secret place." Now the person that's living in the secret place knows something that others don't know. And that's that dedicated relationship where you really trust God. Now, a lot has been taught about faith, but I tell you something else that's needed, and that's trust. People have not taught on trust as much as they taught on faith. And I've listened to so many wonderful men of God. It's very rare that people accurately talk about trust, because people who trust the Lord, they can relax in His will, and they learn more personally from Him. They learn things from the Word, but you can learn, okay, if you can learn from the Word that was written down, you know the Word came from by the Holy Ghost. All right. Some people, they trust the Lord, and they have a stronger relationship than they do a word base. Now, they're going to have problems. They're going to have belief systems that's not right, but as long as they're connected by the Holy Ghost, God can make adjustments in their lives and cause them to do a mighty work. Even though they're not as smart as those who are biblically educated, then you got those who biblically educated. What I mean by that, I don't mean just educated. I mean biblically educated. It's a difference between, let's say, a man go through a seminary school, but his education, a lot of it is tainted with controlled thought that comes out of pride, which comes from the enemy, or misinformation in the name of good information. And when you're convinced on something and you believe it, you'll read it into the Word. You'll have those religious glasses on, and it will cause you to see what you saw and believed, even though it's not right. So a biblical education is when you understand the Word like the Holy Spirit gave it. Or sometimes people, that was a book called Rightly Dividing, and I read that book when I was, my pastor was a doctor. I mean, he was in the church that I went to in North Birmingham. He was educated enough to teach at a Bible college. Okay, so he taught us. We went through a class, and he taught us. One of the books that we studied was Rightly Dividing, and you know, he said you have to always pay attention to which dispensation it was, who was talking, and why. So you get, you know, those things are useful. So a biblical education is when you rightly divide the Word. That's the same thing. Or the intended, I like to say the intended meaning of the Holy Spirit. I like that the most. Because sometimes when we were rightly dividing the Word, so-called, sometimes the dispensation Some things apply to every dispensation, while some things apply to specific times or period. And sometimes it wasn't always like we thought or accepted as true. But the intended meaning of the word, the intended meaning of the Holy Spirit, when he gave man the word to write it down, that's safe. Everything else is not safe. It's not sanctioned by God. See, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He can't use bad information. He's not gonna follow wrong information with signs and wonders. He never has, he never will, and never expect him to. But when a man of God speak the word under the sanction of the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit will always follow it with signs and wonders. They'll receive it and it'll work in their lives. You know, what's the difference of me receiving a word that continues the healing process of salvation in me, and it brings good things to my relationships, it helps me come to life physically, spiritually, and mentally? Nobody knows it, but that's just as much of a miracle as if I hear the word and get healed physically. Or if a man that has terrible emotional problems, he hear the word and it solves his doubts and concerns, and his fear is gone, and now he's back in his right mind. Or even if he's demon possessed, like the man that had the legion, that was cutting himself and breaking fetters and chains, and everybody was afraid of him. Then he got delivered from all that. Then he was clothed. The next time people saw him, he was in clean clothes again and in his right mind. And he wanted to go with Jesus, but Jesus said, no, go show yourself to your friends. And when they saw him, he knew that Jesus cured him. See, when that's just as much of a miracle as if a person hear the word and make adjustments. So God always follows the truth of God's word, the intended meaning of God's word, with signs and wonders, even if they're not promptly noticeable. See, when people make lifestyle changes, God see it. He can see through time better than we can. So, an education from the Holy Spirit, when you're in his presence and you're doing things that he said do, even though you're not as educated as others, you become anointable for the grace that you're, for the light that you're walking in. And if you stay in the love of God and keep a humble disposition and don't become arrogant because of what you know, then you remain anointable. But see, either way, whether you're educated in the word strongly or you have a strong relationship with the Holy Spirit, you become useful. The moment you begin to be arrogant, proud, or preeminent, then all that stops. That you stop being anointable at that point. God can't pour any more anointing oil on you. He can't give you more of himself on you, because now you're about to make a mess. See, when people get in pride or lust or greed or anything that's not of God, and they allow themselves to do these evil things without repenting, then strange things happen. Everybody that trusts you, that don't really know God yet, if they do what you do, they make a bigger mess. And some people will see you doing the things of God and be confused. And some people they'll notice the good, but they also notice the evil, and they have enough sense not to do the evil. But those are students of God. Those are people who love him, who stick to the ways of God. So when people come out with strange doctrines, that you stop being anointable. When you start, if you get in pride or think you know it all, or think you're approved of God, and you start teaching. See, sometimes people, they have an education, and they don't have, I've seen this too many ways, people think that they are approved of God. And this is a subtle thing. The leaven is a problem. Sometimes it's a secret. All Satan wants you to do is receive a little leaven, just a little bit. If he can, if you swallow a small hook with the bait on it, you swallow a small piece of bait, you still got a hook. And if you get past your filter, you're corrupt. It's just a matter of days, a matter of time before it's not. And it's hard to tell. See, Jesus said in the Laodicean church, they had possessions, they had reputation, but they didn't know that they were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They didn't know that they were unfruitful. See, wretched is the same as being unfruitful, miserable. The whole thing, it's all messed up. But they had the reputation of being the people of God. Problematic, problematic, problematic. Let's see what my open Bible says. This word are different than the regular King James. And put my glasses on. And you know, while I'm turning, I want to thank y'all for praying. My voice have not been cracking. And I hadn't had to stop and turn the tape off to clear my nose and my throat like I do. I asked the people to hear a few weeks ago to pray for me, and I thank you for those prayers. You know, Paul asked for prayer so he could be bold, and I got tired of my voice cracking that way, and I appeal to y'all, the people who listen to this broadcast, to pray for me, and it's obvious you did, because I have been trying to get that resolved for months, but when I asked y'all to pray for me, it cleared up. Thank you. Okay. This is a message to Laodicea. Let's see how the open Bible reads. My sister bought me this Bible, and it's the New King James Version. Joan bought it for me. It says, "And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, which is unfruitful, miserable, you can't multiply, poor, you can't give. You can't give the things of God because you're poor in the things of God. Didn't I remember they had riches, but they had natural possessions, but they didn't have spiritual possessions. Then he said they're blind. They can't see their condition. And that's what I really wanted to point out right now. And then they're naked. They wandered out of covenant. They don't have covenant laughter anymore. They're not in agreement with God anymore. They're blind, naked. They don't see their position. He started off saying that. He said, I counsel you to, he said, because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know. They don't know their condition. They don't know they're wretched. They don't know they're miserable. They don't know they're poor because they have possessions. They don't know they're blind because they approve themselves. They don't know they're naked because they approve them. They think they're going to heaven. They think they're still of God. So, the reason I'm bringing all this up, there's a point to it. When the pastors I talked about all this week and last week, from the early 90s, that the Lord wanted to put first, but he would have had to train them in how to follow him. Even though they were educated, they were very educated, and I thank God for the discipline that they had. But there were some things they didn't see. And the same things they didn't see, I didn't see it either. But I told the Lord that I would obey him, and he brought these things to me. Now the Lord taught me first that the biggest problem in the church, you know what I'm going to say, because I say it often, is that his people don't follow him. Now, in that, because they're not following him, they're following what they trust. And they just happen, some the areas of life where they miss God, they didn't know it, and they were producing fruit after their type. And God was not going to risk, he was not going to risk the ready-to-pick harvest and let them be, and he didn't want the harvest tainted. So he tried to get them on board. They didn't get on board to his specifications. And I'm going to point out what some of his specifications are. And they didn't do it his way. They had doctrinal beliefs that were problematic, sometimes more than others. Some of them, it was a love walk. Some of them, some had pride. That was a common problem. Because a lot of the pastors, when I would give them the word, they would ease it in their pocket. They didn't want nobody to see them get receiving it. Or they tried to keep it on the down low. So that was preeminent problems, pride problems, jealousy problems. And see, God can't pour more anointing all on that. And I thank God. I'm just glad I never ran into racism. I don't think I ever ran into that. Because some of the pastors were black, some were white, but I don't believe I ran into any racism. But anything that's not like him, I want to make it even more simple. The Beatitudes. Now, if you don't do anything, if you don't know everything, all the details and of creation and revelation and end time eschatology, if you don't know all of that, you can still do a powerful work for God. If you can love others like Jesus loved you. If you could at least walk in the light of the Beatitudes, you will always be anointable. If you can take heed to what the Spirit said to the seven churches, you will always be anointable. If you take heed to the things Jesus taught when he had John to address the seven churches, that came straight from the Holy Ghost. These are the things that if we do, we're still anointable. Now, even though you're anointable and God anoint you to do something, you have to I like to put it this way. The anointing is a sanction that gives a man or a woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. Now, to me, being a mechanic, I like to relate the anointing to like heavy equipment. You know, if Billy Graham was heavy equipment, he would have been a combine gathering up the harvest. You know, Samson, if he was heavy equipment, he would have been an Abrams tank taking out thousands. Or an AT-10 plane to take out tanks. He would have been something like that. You know, then you got people that were like Isaiah, the eagle-eyed prophet. You know, he would have been like the Hubble telescope. You know, this, I'm trying to relate it. See, when you have God's ability, you have God's power. You have the ability it takes to pull off something. Paul was anointed to the Gentiles. But when he went into the camp of the Jews, he went to jail. He wasn't anointed for that. And the way he got he had to get out of that arena. So where he was, you know, he appealed to Caesar. Now he's back among Gentiles. That's where he even bought a house. Before he died, he had a house somewhere in Rome. And he was teaching people there till they killed him. And they couldn't kill him until he finished his course, just like Peter. See, he won. And then he went out as a martyr, and he knew he was going to be a martyr. So he didn't care. When you're all in, you don't care about things like that. Peter knew that they were going to kill him in the end. He didn't care. He embraced the things of God so much that that didn't mean anything to him. To live as Christ, to die as gain, both men. And everybody like him. Now, when you're anointed, you can do what a normal person can't do. But you got to be in the anointing has a jurisdiction. You got to have enough love in you to go to where the anointing will work. If God sent you, if you live in Alabama and he sent you somewhere in Mississippi, and your anointing for it to operate where God wants it to be, you have to move. God will open doors, you'll move. You'll be anointed to move. I've heard people selling unsellable houses for the right, for what they needed, and buying a house that was that somebody else outbid it for. They bought it less than them because angels opened the doors. When your anointing has a jurisdiction, and you have to activate it. Also, the people that you are addressing, they activate it also. Now, you can, I activate my anointing by being faithful to God. I live on ready. But when I'm around the right people, they activate my anointing too. Sometimes when I'm doing these broadcasts, the Lord calls me to say things far beyond my years, things I haven't even been taught yet. Sometimes when I listen to it, I say, Lord, teach me about that. I said it. God said it through me. And I still have to go and say, Lord, teach me more about that. Now, those that were they were educated well. And to the point that the Lord said, if they follow me now, it would be better. But God was going to have to train them. Each one would have had to be individually trained by the Holy Ghost. Now, yesterday's broadcast and the day before that, I mentioned that I said, Lord, what if they started following you now? And this was years after God sent me to them. He said it won't work. He said because they wasted too much training time. I said, man. So the Lord was, he couldn't use them to reap the harvest because they would have bred more people just like they were. So God had to not use them for the harvest. And he had to raise up people, sustain the harvest, and raise up people to reap the harvest. So, and that took some years because he had to save people that were not trained wrong. Even though they were less educated, they were devoted. Now, I want to point something out. Psalms 119. Listen at the spirit of the word. Now this is David talking. He said, this is Psalms 119. I'm just going to start where I highlighted it. Verse 89. Forever, Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, talking about the stars in all creation, for all are thy servants. Now, verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. But see, the law was his delight. The word of God was his delight. 93. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. You brought me to life. Then he said in 94, I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. Then he said this, 95, it's highlighted. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. He's looking to God in every situation. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Now watch verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, now this is what I really wanted to get to. Thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than my teacher, than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Then he said, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Then he said this, I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. So if people keep the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, and then what Jesus said to the seven churches, they will always be anointable. They will always be people God can build upon. Even if they're less educated, they're not going to stay that way. They'll become wiser than the ancients because they keep his precepts. This is why. The word of God, our learning comes in stages. We receive the word. Then we believe the word. Then we act on it. And over time, we see the point that God was getting at. We see the reason why God said it the way he did, such as turn the other cheek. That kind of love is deeper than just saying kind words. So when you In life, when you turn the other cheek, you learn things that you wouldn't normally learn. In other words, when you take the high road, turning the other cheek is taking the high road. When you love people to the point that even though they do you wrong and mean it, you respond according to God, according to the word, according to the love of God. Now, God can trust you. And that's the kind of people that God is using to reap this last day harvest. Not those that ran fast in the past, or those that were more educated. It's those that finish in the love of God. So, when God gives you something to do, keep Him first. Stay humble to God. Because these men that I love so much, and I was blessed by them, and I had tapes, and I read their notes, and heard them preach for years, was blessed by them, saw miracles by them. But I can't say that some of them were not arrogant. I can't say that some of them didn't let pride get the best of them. And I can't say that some of them didn't have jealousy problems. But those are the things that caused them not to be anointable. Consider these things that so that there's no need to duplicate it. God wants people that obey Him, that love Him, that love His people just like He does. Now, I wrote this word. I think it was notes that I took as I was listening to Pastor McCann. It says, the title of it is To Finish a Vision. And everything else, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 statements with an asterisk. It says, to finish a vision, you must believe God, honoring Him by your faith. Love God more than the vision. You must trust the Lord completely throughout the process. You must hear Him out, noticing His voice over the voices of doubt and unbelief. You must enjoy His presence. You must receive revelation from Him. You must contend for the faith, see it through with patience,